CliffCentral.com.
Okay, we're going to meet our guest for the morning, Matthew Cannier. He is a motoring influencer. He's been invited to London to meet with Clarkson May and Hammond from Top Gear, the old Top Gear, and is the only African to be invited after having built the largest tribe in the car platform in South Africa. Now, Ben, you're a big fan of cars, and you've been paying attention to cars all day. Have you met Clarkson and May and Hammond yet?
No, Gareth, you have. You're the only person that has.
Yeah. Well, apparently they were here not so long ago. But we're going to speak to Matthew because he's 25. He's created the Heart of Motion, a brand started to showcase everything automotive in South Africa. And we're going to meet him this morning. Let's get him in here. Let's meet this dude. Mubs, are you excited? You can talk about your car. We could talk about the midnight
Midnight Mystery.
Midnight Mystery. That's Lucas's car. We could speak to Matthew about all of those and more.
I'm planning to give him a new look.
Oh, yeah? You're going to revamp? You're going to upgrade?
Yeah.
All right. Very exciting. Hey, well, let's start off with a nice proper welcome for Matthew. How are you, man?
I'm very good. How are you?
Good. Nice to meet you, dude.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I saw you doing big things on the internet.
Well, trying to.
Blogging, taking pictures, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, it's kind of exploded quite a lot since November.
Yeah, how's it going?
It's phenomenal. I can't keep track of how many things that's happening. So
where did it all start for you? Because, you know, a blog is like a podcast, is like anyone can start one.
Yeah.
But the difference between a successful one and a mediocre one is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, you're moving into that successful space.
Yeah.
Is this something you've always wanted to do?
Yeah, it's been something that I've always wanted to do since a kid. Mm-hmm. I've always loved cars. So I've always been around cars, fixing cars with my dad. But I've never necessarily had the tools or the opportunities to go and, you know, write about them or take pictures until the whole drive trap thing started. So I had this idea of creating a website. That didn't work because you have to buy licenses and domains and all that stuff, and that costs so much money.
Much easier to just start a blog.
Exactly. Right. So, but I mean, if you start something like a WordPress or something like that, you still have to build an audience, and it takes quite a bit of time. So I kind of just used the free tool, Instagram, and I started taking pictures, and I built it on from there.
So how many people following you on Instagram at the moment?
So on my personal page, about 8,700.
Mm-hmm.
On the car one, which I recently started, not quite a lot.
Like, yeah, but you're going to grow that slowly.
Yeah, I'm going to grow it. But my biggest audience is on DriveTribe.
Okay. And what sort of stuff do they like? What are they responding to the most?
On DriveTribe?
Yeah.
Well,
because you could put up supercars, you could talk about normal, regular cars, you could talk about stuff in the South African motoring world that is particularly relevant to us. What works the best?
I think they like a bit of controversy, and they like something that's not really car-based. So a lot of people talk about facts and numbers, and people are bored by that, but they really want to know, like, their opinion. So one of the articles I wrote was about the Jaguar F-Pace, and I said, you're not really going to buy the one in the brochure because that's got every single option, and that's in the millions, but you're actually going to buy the 2-liter diesel, and that's the one with the smallest rims and the not-so-leathery options. And they love that. So I kept writing stuff like that. So my latest article was called The Poor Man's M4 because I was given a 440, and, you know, it's around the same price as like an M3, M4.
Yeah.
And they really liked it that I called that because, I mean, you're spending that money on a car. It's kind of like, okay, cool, you're going to buy the hardcore one, but that's not really the one you can afford. It's the one that's, you know, in the showroom, in the back.
What kind of, we were talking this morning about just driving around in Johannesburg over the weekend. It was actually something my aunt brought up the other day because she lives in Cape Town and she was up. She can't believe how many luxury cars there are in South Africa. Now,
this is a lot.
But this is the weird thing, right? So Pravin Gordhan the other day in the budget speech says, oh, well, the top tier of taxable people, only about 100,000 of these people.
Mm-hmm.
And they are earning over R1 million a year, 1.2 million rand a year. Now, that's not enough to be able to afford some of these cars that cost R1 million at a minimum.
Yeah.
But you see thousands of
There's
these cars.
There's stacks of them, yeah.
Right.
Mm.
How does this work? Are people borrowing money to buy cars?
Well, I would assume so. I think the general rule is you shouldn't spend, like, I don't know, 20-ish percent of your salary more on the car.
That's what they say, right?
That's what they say, but I reckon we're spending in South Africa probably like 40% and higher.
Yeah.
So guys who have those cars don't necessarily own them.
Yeah.
Well, that's just, you know, my opinion. But, I mean, there's no way you guys see, like, a G-Wagon, which is in, like, the 2 millions. Like, how can you afford such a car? But then again, do you know his lifestyle after he drives past you? Like, where is he parking it? What's he eating? What's he wearing? Yeah, there's a whole bunch of things.
Probably horrible, just so that he can drive around in the G-Wagon. Yeah. All right, so do people always ask you what you drive?
They do, and I always surprise them. So I got myself a little runaround. I got a Ford Figo, which I paid off within like 7 months.
Beautiful.
Because I knew...
Don't owe anybody else.
Oh, I mean, I was so shocked because 24.5% interest on that car was killing me. And that wasn't great because the banks don't like first-time buyers. They just love to milk them for money.
Sure.
So
and whoever pays their car off in 7 months, they must have phoned you up and said, look, is there something wrong with you?
Yeah.
Are you going to die anytime soon? Why are you doing this?
It always happens when you try to apply for finance. Like, it's the most difficult thing ever. You can't get hold of anyone. But as soon as you pay something off, like, really quickly, they're always the first to call you and be like, hey, we've got a new offer. Would you like this amount of credit? So, yeah, I drive that car. And it's the idea of...
What do those go for?
Well, I got mine for 110.
That's not bad.
Yeah, so it was secondhand though.
Yeah.
But I knew that I wanted a cheap runaround car because I hardly get to drive my car.
And when you have tons of money one day,
yeah,
what are you going to buy?
Well, my first car's a Nissan GTR, hands down. Because the first Fast and Furious movie, that really got me into like the car culture scene. And as we know, late Paul Walker's obsession was with the Superman Skyline. Mm-hmm. So I've always loved that car. I love the culture around it. The ability to like modify it and personalize it without making it too, you know, weird. It's always been a first love for me. So that's my first car.
Remember last year when I went on the track with that?
Yeah.
I was amazed, like absolutely blown away. Because it goes next to like the fancy supercar.
Exactly.
And it just sort of like pushes them aside. Like, this is a real like beast. It's an absolute machine.
So tell me how you got invited to meet Clarkson and May and Hammond. I mean, these guys are the high priests of motoring.
They're
right?
The gods
motoring
of cars.
Journalism. Sure. And even though the three of them, some people really like the new Top Gear. Some people think that without those three, Top Gear is dead. Some people who loved Top Gear, like Ben and me, we just eventually got bored because it was just the same thing over and over again, really.
Mm.
But these guys are they're the kings of that world,
yeah, they
of
are.
That universe.
Mm.
So how did you get invited to meet them?
Well, obviously, when that whole, you know, saga happened, they left and parted ways. And as a Twitter nerd, I kind of just like follow their pages and the producers and all the kind of marketing people. And eventually, after a while, they started tweeting out things like, hey, we're coming up with a new site. If you want to get involved, let us know. So they put like a kind of email sort of thing there, and I put my details in. And then a couple of months later, they're like, hey, we're launching this new site. It's basically online car social media for the boys, and we want to invite you. If you have content, send it to us, and then we'll kind of curate it. And then if you're accepted, you can become a member. But it was kind of vague because it was last year, June. And I kind of didn't know what was going on there. So I sent in my work, and then about a month later, they were like, hey, we're accepting you to be a page lead. And I was like, really? Me? And then from there, it was just a matter of this is the site. This is what we want to do with you. And all you have to do is just add your own content. And that was like a light bulb moment because I've always wanted a site. I always wanted a platform to put my work on. And that was kind of like opportunity presented itself.
But you see, this is what I love is that you took the initiative. You were like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to email these guys. I'm going to show them what the hell. What have I got to lose?
Yeah.
And you aim high.
Exactly.
So you want to work with the best people in the business. Then join up with these guys.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was far-fetched because, I mean, like, you had, like, nothing compared to, like, the gods of them. See, like...
You probably had, like, a 2% chance of success, but it worked.
Yeah, it worked. So when I was accepted, they gave you, like, this URL and said, like, cool, you can tell all your friends and mates to join beforehand and let the boys know. So I tweeted it, but I kind of just added Clarkson's name. I was like, cool, I'll do South Africa Proud. He finds my tweets and he replies. He's like, good job. We're looking forward to your work. And I was like, that's incredible.
That is cool.
So, yeah.
That counts more than meeting the guy in person
because
everybody else gets to see that he acknowledges you. So it's like he's doing that on stage
exactly.
In front of millions.
And everyone's like, you're the cool kid now.
Right.
So it was really rad for me, and that kind of escalated.
Have you pissed off other car people in South
I
Africa?
Have.
Okay, tell me about that because this is what I love.
Okay, so getting into this whole car like industry, I've noticed that a lot of the guys are quite old. And being young, it's kind of looked upon as, who are you? You're the hot shot.
Yeah, who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are? What do you have to offer? But, you know, I don't really care about that because I still wake up every day. I still love it. No matter what they say, I'm still going to carry on doing it. So they might have, like, you know, sub-tweets or, you know, the stupid comments like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. But I guess, you kind of got to shake it off.
Oh, they're all going to be watching you now.
And yeah. But and this whole idea of you don't know what you're talking about, they don't know what their audience is wanting anymore.
Yeah. That's why nobody listens to them
anymore. It's very difficult for someone. I got it originally in sport as well. So people say, oh, well, this is just fly-by-night bullshit, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's getting people talking, right?
Mm-hmm.
People might never talk about cars. They read something that you've written. It's like, okay, I can relate finally.
Yeah, exactly.
People talk about talk and all this other kind of crap.
It's facts and figures that bore people. Because no one wants to know about 0 to 100 or how much this returns when you put in your Shell petrol or something. It's like, no one wants to know about that. It's people want to know about, like, can I put my kids inside? Like, is it going to irritate me because the tires make so much noise? Or is it is it really hardcore? Does it really hurt my back? And that's the formula that I guess kind of set the boys up.
Can you make money out of this?
You can.
Are you making a living out of it?
Yes.
That's impressive.
So I left my corporate job in September, which was kind of like a blessing and curse.
What was the job first?
So I worked in digital marketing. I was a product coordinator. So I was basically responsible for managing and creating websites and testing the software and all the kind of features in it and then improving on it and giving suggestions.
So you quit that? You said it was a blessing and a curse?
So blessing and a curse. So long story short, the company I work for didn't really like me. So they kind of forced me to quit. So they did the whole bunch of, you know, the suit show thing. So they gave me too much work. They made me trip and fail. And then they were like, oh, we're going to blame you. First warning, second warning. And eventually, like, I knew what they were getting up to. And I was like, well, I don't know what to do. And then it got to the point where I had no options. And they were like, it's a big company. They were about like 400 against this me. So I was like, you know what, landslide, I'm not going to win. So I spoke to a friend of mine who's in law, and they said, you know what, just let them go through the process. And I was like, okay, cool. So they did their thing. They screwed me over. I didn't get paid. You know, CCMA things happened.
Oh, really? Did you take them there?
I did.
Oh, nice.
So, but long story short, during that period, it sucks because you're let go in a time where no one really wants to hire you. So I had to channel my energy somewhere, and something just said, you know what, invest into this car thing. And just put all your heart and soul into it. So I just started writing. I started making videos. I started doing everything I could just to, you know, focus my energy on that and not think about, great, I don't have a job over the December period. It's going to take me a long time and this is not going to work out. And I think everything evolved after I started putting in 10 times more effort than I normally would when I had a job.
I see your combined social media reach is like 65,000 people and counting.
Yeah.
It's huge, dude.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Not bad at all.
Since it launched, I think late November, the 25th, my page grew to 54,000 members. And I was like, that's quite scary because that overtook my Instagram and everything else like immediately. And that was kind of like an aha sign. It's like, okay, I'm going in the right direction. But I also didn't know.
Who are your – I mean, who like looks after you? Who's interested in your content from a sponsorship point of view? Or just from the point of view that they've realized you're a major media outlet, not just some guy with a blog?
Well, mostly the car manufacturers have been like, I've developed a good relationship with them. So I've
Isn't that complicated?
It is and it isn't. It depends because
what if you write something terrible about their new car?
But that's the thing, I don't. Because everyone's going to write something bad and everyone's got an opinion saying, this is not great, this is hard, this is not fast enough. But, you know, the guy who's going to actually buy a car like that, he's not interested in that. He wants to know, tell me about the good stuff. And that's what I do.
Okay, so you don't write nasty, negative stuff.
No, because there's no point because, you know, like everything in life's about relationships. And if you're going to get something from someone, and that's a big thing for them, they're giving you a car for basically, you know, nothing. So you're going to write something good because I know that there's an audience out there that's going to say, you know what, you make sense. I'm going to buy it because of that.
But also, writing stuff that's bad about cars, that's like you're just trying so hard to be Clarkson.
Exactly.
You look at most cars out there right now, there's no such thing as a bad car.
Yeah.
I think the worst car they make today is like the best car they made in the 60s.
But exactly. I mean, like the Russians made bad cars on purpose just to make life in Russia worse, okay? Like they put cement in the engine blocks.
What are they called?
The Lada.
Lada.
Lada, which they still make.
I mean, you can see in the name already, Lada.
They put cement in the engine blocks.
Yeah, but the Ladas are still going. I mean, like, they don't break down.
No, they're forced to drive themselves.
We only see them on viral YouTube videos where they drive on the wrong side of the road doing stupid things.
But if you look at cars nowadays and what you get from, like, I mean, like Kia and all those cars coming into it now, they've all got Bluetooth, they've all got the hands-free.
Got all the bells and whistles.
They're all getting it. So all these cars you buy nowadays, they're good.
These days,
they're just better ones than others.
They look at you funny if it doesn't have Bluetooth or electric
like, what?
Windows.
What? You don't have leather seats?
I mean, I'm sure the new City Golf, which VW is now bringing out.
Yeah.
And I heard over the weekend, Alex J is not actually voiced in the commercial. I can't believe that. But that car is going to be good.
Yeah, it is.
It's not going to be a Pagani Zonda, but it's a good car.
Yeah, because someone out there is going to buy one. Lada. There we go.
What a horrible piece of shit that is.
Russian spy movies are the worst movies because there were car chases in those. And it was just so slow and they couldn't go downstairs or nothing. They just drove. Small little
speed up the footage and make yourself look good.
The next time you feel top 10 Lada jokes,
is there such a thing? Listen to this. Okay,
this is great.
This is amazing.
All right, here, let's play around with this for a second. I mean, we've got some time, and also you brought it up. I didn't bring up the Lada. All right, are you ready?
Ready.
Here are the top 10 Lada jokes. Let's see. Let's just find the right one here. Start off with. I don't want to choose something very, very.
If
lame.
You're Russian, please don't take offense as well.
No, take offense.
I know
offense.
They love this.
We don't mind. Does Putin drive around in a Lada? I would imagine.
It's probably his weekend toy.
Yeah,
he's the one guy that gets the choice not to.
All right. What do you call a convertible Lada? A rubbish skip. What do you call a convertible Lada with twin exhausts? A wheelbarrow. A man goes into a car accessory shop and says to the assistant, "Can I have a hubcap for my Lada?" The assistant thinks to himself for a moment and then replies, "Okay, it seems like a fair swap." You two are loving this, huh?
Oh, this
what
is
do
brilliant.
You call a Lada driver who says he has a speeding ticket?
A liar?
Yes.
Oh.
Easy one. A man buys a Lada, but after only one day of ownership, he returns it to the garage. "It's no good, mate. The car's no good for me," says the man to the car dealer. "Why not?" says the dealer. "Do you see that steep hill over there?" says the man, pointing. "Well, it can only get up to 75. We'll only get up to 75 up there." "That's not bad, sir, especially for a Lada. Can I see? I can't see a problem with that." "Trouble is," said the man, "I live at 95. Thanks, bro. How did two Lada drivers recognize each other?
Honk. Flashlights.
It's easy. They already met at the garage this morning. And the last one. What do you call a Lada at the top of a hill?
Dunno.
A miracle. All right, very good. Or a scrap heap, whichever you prefer.
Yes.
All right. So there we go. That's a properly terrible car. But they don't make bad cars anymore. And even, like, when I get a rental, I don't care what they give me.
Yeah.
I'm not fussy.
Unless you're actually putting your own money to it, then it becomes another story.
Well, when you're buying a car, you care. But
but
even then, I think that they've given us a lot more options for our money.
And also, cars have purpose, right? So you might not want to buy them this in Almira. But when you order an Uber, so be it. Gets from A to B, you're good.
Yeah.
Well,
therefore, it can't be a bad car either.
Although I did see them actually advertising a Nissan Almira the other day, and I thought, why would you advertise?
It's business to business. Why are you putting two consumers?
No, there's no individual consumer who ever goes out and goes, "Now the car I want is that Nissan Almira." No.
Okay, I've got an idea. I just don't know enough or have enough interest in motoring. But the great article would be, has the Uber experience ruined the Toyota Corolla? Because essentially, if you buy a Toyota Corolla right now, every single person is going to go, "When did you start working for Uber?"
Exactly. Or if you got one, it's always like, okay, those girls are going home in Uber. We know what they're doing.
It's like your dad's an Uber driver and it's his car.
We just know, like, if you're at some party or some event and you see that silver Corolla and that, like, phone that's, like, mounted on the dash with
you
the suction.
You just know it's Uber,
you
right?
just know that
but
is Uber.
But I'd love to know, is it actually ruining the brand or is Uber buying so many cars that's still fine?
Uber's not buying cars. No, the individuals
part of Uber, yeah, exactly.
Tell me, when you do pictures and videos, what kind of stuff do people love the most?
They like authentic stuff because I think a lot of the press use the press kit, which is stuff in like Europe and North America. So when I shoot a car.
Beautiful, beautiful pictures, but it doesn't.
It doesn't relate. So where I come in is I'll get a car from a manufacturer and I'll go to that abandoned bridge in Hodabia Sport Dam and I'll just chuck it on there and I'll get my friends to, you know, we'll do an episode there and we'll do like a review or I'll shoot it there or somewhere in town like Mabaneng or Braam or we'll go out to like
you find nice places to do it and you make the whole environment interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Because with the whole Instagram side of me, like before I got into like cars heavily, I always used to go around town and explore quite a bit. So there was always spots I knew of. So when it was like, I got a car, I was like, great, I'll take the car here, shoot it here.
What's the best thing you've driven?
Ooh. Best track experience, I think, was a 488 GTB. That was insane, because I think Ferrari flew down Italian instructors to teach us, and they couldn't speak a word of English, but it was beautiful. But it was so proper, because, like, they only ate, like, Polonaise and, like, you know, Parmesan, and there were these skinny guys with, like, the big glasses.
Proper Italian.
They're proper. I think his name's Giovanni or something like that, and he taught me how to drive that. But I think there's a few categories. So I like the Ferrari because it's just, it's a Ferrari.
Sure.
The best hatch I've had was the Focus RS. I love that car. Ooh,
I went to launch that. Again, that thing I did on KZN.
Yeah.
Took us to this track. That car was so cool.
It's unbelievable.
It's so beautifully drivable. Mm. Like, you don't have to be that good. You get in there, you feel like a rock star.
Exactly. You get out, you feel around. Like Ken Block. You're like, yes, I can do circles and smoke. But, yeah, I think my favorite car of all time would probably be the M6. I could live with that car. All day, every day.
I saw an all-black one yesterday. It's like if Knight Rider was a BMW.
He would be that, yeah. But there's different cars for different seasons. Like, when I got the Mustang, like, it's not a particularly great car. Like, it's very soft, and it's not very, like, sporty like a Ferrari, but it's such a pop culture icon. Everybody takes out their phone, and they're snapping pictures. So, I mean, it's that, and then the X5 is nice, but that's an SUV, but I'm not really going to get an SUV because, I mean, I'm 25. What am I going to do with such a big car?
I don't know why I have one. I need to change. All right, if you had to choose a car for me, for Ben, for Mabali, for Sia, let's go. Let's have some fun here.
Okay, well, you know not to give him an SUV.
Okay, no, I don't know why I've got it now. I mean, it's just, it doesn't make sense. I don't need it. I don't
use
it.
It's because you've crashed fast cars. That's why you got one.
Yeah, that's true.
I think you would do well with an M4. It's nice and...
you see him drive. It's the worst idea.
I don't know how Gareth drives, but just look like an M4, a white one. With all the performance bits on it. That'd be
really?
Great. A nice two-door coupe. It shouts when it wants to, but it's also nice and livable with. Ben, I'd say you look like an X6 kind of guy. You like that crossover. The crossover.
Has anyone ever been called an X6 kind of guy? Because that is a strange car.
It's an embarrassment what you've just been called. Okay, how about Sia? What kind of car should Sia have?
I spoke to him earlier. He likes to pump out his cars and stuff like that.
No. And Lucas is the one really need to help here. I think you were thinking maybe about him.
Yes, Lucas. I think
so. Lucas has got just explain what year was your Toyota?
It's a 2006 XE model Toyota.
There we go.
Tez.
Straight away, he's a Golf R kind of guy.
Golf R.
Sounds like
no.
He likes
you
his
don't like
no.
You don't want a Golf R.
No.
Why?
What do you want?
No, guys. Like, I feel like Golf R is for these blessers. No.
I got you.
You're saying you're not one of those?
No. Hey, what are you trying to say? Maybe a young 335i. You know.
All right.
A Wrangler. I love animals, so I think Wrangler will help me get into the wild.
What kind of animals, though?
No,
wild ones. Wild ones in the middle of the bush that want to eat him.
Who do we have left? We've got Sia.
Mabali. She's not really fussed by a car, but she's been complaining about her little car for the longest time. So what would you give her?
Probably
what's a nice girl car at the moment?
Mini Cooper. I'm not being sexist, but Minis are generally loved by
saying girl car, I'm being sexist. So I'll take the heat, yeah?
She looks like a Mini driver or Fiat 500. I see a lot of girls driving Fiat 500s now.
Right.
I think that's the it girl car.
All right.
And then it's Sia left.
Yeah, Sia will have a wheelbarrow with a lawnmower engine.
Salada, basically.
Can you still get those?
I don't know.
As a joke, I mean, you could probably buy one. In fact, that would be a great thing to do to somebody because you could probably pick it up for nothing.
Well, it probably costs you about 80 grand shipping and about 8 grand.
What?
The actual car.
To get it here.
Unless you've got stupid money to waste, and that's a good thing.
What do your family think of this job in inverted commas? Because you know, a lot of people don't believe that you could actually make a living out of something like this.
Well,
so they probably say to you, when are you going to get a real job?
All the time. So funny story, my dad actually thinks I lease the cars to impress my friends all the time. Because my dad's 61. He'll wake up, okay, and then all of a sudden there's like a nice shiny Jag or something like that in my driveway. And he still doesn't believe a manufacturer will send a car to my house. just to give to me for 7 days. Just
so that you can give an opinion.
Exactly. Yeah. For him, it's like, okay, Matt, why are you wasting your money? It's like, you don't need to impress your friends. You've got a life. You've got this. And I'm like, no, Dad.
He doesn't ask questions like if a good one comes and then you trade that in for something terrible the next week because they send you a different car to review. He doesn't go, oh, that was a bad decision. Rather get the other one back.
No, he just, I don't know. He's a bit of a strange character, but he still thinks like I'm just getting cars just to showcase the lifestyle. That's I don't hysterical. Have it to spend. My mom's pretty supportive though. My mom really enjoys what I'm doing, but it took her a while. Hmm. Because for her, that digital age of, yes, I'll tweet or Instagram and I'll get paid for it is kind of like a shocker for them. But I guess now that they're seeing that I'm, you know, you get flown somewhere or like you come home and your name tag's on the bag and then they're like, okay, it starts to make sense now.
Now they're actually getting to grips with it. They're starting to understand it's a real thing. I've often had this question asked of me or I've heard people talking about it. It's whatever car you drive is not going to get you laid because people are only going to see your car. By the time they've already decided to go home with you.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
it's not going to get you scoring, right?
Well, it's a bit of a superficial thing, I think, with a car. Totally. Because I think whatever car you have, it says a lot about you. And for some reason, majority of the world just thinks about you from the outside. So if I cruise around in my Figo, no one cares. But as soon as I get like a shiny four exhaust, loud, noisy thing, you can see people are checking you out in traffic and people are like, hey, what's up? Or there's some people who are brave enough to walk up to you and be like, is this your car? And then from there, conversation happens. Numbers are exchanged.
Okay. Yeah. That could be quite exciting. You think South Africans are car crazy?
They are. I think South Africans spend way too much money on cars than, you know, anything else. I think they want to keep up with the lifestyle. But, I mean, who can blame them? It comes back to what we said in the beginning about how people just have these really lavish, shiny cars. But, you know, why are they spending so much on it?
Do millennials care about cars as much as previous generations?
I don't know, because there's a part of me that says yes, they do, but there's a part of me that says no, we want to go like organic and don't care about cars and their electric cars. Like I have a lot of friends who love electric cars.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I do. Like I had a friend yesterday who just got an i3, and I had a whole bunch of friends like swarm to him, and they're like, "Oh my word, I love this car!" But I mean, like my friends who are millennials, they like cars that are they're more friendlier. They're not caring about power or like.
It's more about doing the right thing, being conscientious.
Yeah, they're the Wi-Fi.
Not ruining the whole world.
Exactly. So there's very few of me left, I guess, who actually want to smell burning petrol and tire smoke and stuff like that.
Do you go to races?
When I can, yeah, I'm going to, there's an event in Boksburg or somewhere like that where they're having like jet fuel cars. And so I'm keen because I'd never been.
What are jet fuel cars?
It's basically you put a jet engine in a drag car.
You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah. And they like light it on fire and they put like burning cars behind it to like set it aflame. It's ridiculous.
Jesus. So dude, isn't that dangerous?
Well, it's quite far away from you, but the experience is like you hear a jet engine and like a car gets set on fire, and then there's like drag races and there's weird cars there.
There's going to be some good opportunities to film and photograph that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Are there still a lot of these illegal drag races that happen? Do you know about them?
They are. It's very underground and it's...
Where do they do them mostly?
It varies. I know location changes.
Yeah.
So sometimes.
But they're in Joburg, right?
Yeah, there's Joburg. I'm not sure about Cape Town. I think they're all in Camps Bay enjoying drinks by Caprice or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah. Nobody's got time.
No one cares. But Durban, yes, in Joburg. I know they'll meet at like a garage and call it a name, like a owner's club meet, something. Okay. And then everyone will come there and there'll be like a few police present. And then at about like 9 o'clock, someone will get like a text or someone will have like a tip. And then they'll all just like convoy like they're going home. But it'll be like, I don't know, someone's moving an airplane across the road. So there was one time where someone was moving a plane from Oatambo from the one street to the next across the highway. So they closed a bit of highway off. And during that time, someone spoke to someone and there was about a good 2-3 Ks of highway that was open. So I know that some of the guys, you know, went there and they just started drag racing. Or it's like,
wow,
there is an abandoned highway on the way to Hardaway Sport that I go and shoot there, but that's just like empty highway for 3 Ks and you can go there. But
and it's maintained? I mean,
look.
Is it destroyed?
It's partially, but I mean, like the guys don't really care. I think their adrenaline is, I want to be boy racer in my car and I want to rev and then look to the left and look to the right. And the girl comes and drops the cloth. And so there is a lot of that still happening, but I don't know. I think that sort of illegal scene is kind of like fading away.
Where are you from?
I was born in the Free State.
You're kidding.
No, I was born in a small town called Ficksburg.
Dude.
Mm. So
anything happened there?
There's something called Cherry Cherries. Festival. Cherries Cherry Festival was big.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I'm a proper farm boy. So Cherry Festival, the army would come and like demonstrate stuff, and then there would be a guy who would like pick up a Nissan 1400 bucky because he was super strong, or like pull a truck. So that was my childhood. It was a lot of that, like homemade jams and like cow tipping and running around in hay bales and stuff like that. And then Dad obviously got work in Joburg, so I moved straight from the Free State to Joburg. So I've got zero Durban experience under my belt.
When you go over to meet these the guys from what is it now called? Amazon Prime.
The Grand Tour. Yeah.
When is this going to happen?
So I was supposed to meet them, but I never got my visa in time.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was quite a bummer. So they chose a whole bunch of people. One of them was Maximilian Cooper from Gumball 3000. Mm-hmm. Ken Block and all of them were there, and they chose me because they're like, you're representing Africa. So they gave me a set time. Obviously, it was about 3 weeks. So I kind of took a chance, but I went and applied for the visa. But the visa only came last week, Monday, and the event was on the 8th of February.
Oh, no.
But they're going to have more events. Like they tell us where the guys are. So the guys were in Mozambique recently to film some stuff for the show, and they said, whenever they're around, they'll give me a heads up and see if I can go through, or there will be more events.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's even better if they take you along here.
Yeah.
That could be fun.
Yeah, and the guys are really cool. I mean, like...
What do you think of their new show?
I love it. I think they're quite edgy because they're on the internet like this is. So there's a lot more free reign. Like if you go see like Top Gear, like it's got that same cinematic feel, but it doesn't have that fizz. Like it's just, you know, they're trying to, you know, when you polish a turd, it's still a turd, basically. That's what I say. So the Grand Tour.
So you don't have a whole lot of time for what the new guys are doing on Top Gear.
No, not a chance. I mean, no. Like, I respect Chris Harris, because Chris Harris is like one of the best drivers out there. But I mean, if you want to see it, you go to the comments on Facebook or Twitter, and the comments are just like, go home, go die. Who's watching you? I don't care. You guys do know that the Grand Tour is better than you. And the internet is so savage. It's terrible. But I mean, I love the Grand Tour because I think they always take the piss at everyone because they always bring on a guest and then they always kill the guest. And the guest is like an A-list, like Charlize Theron and Daniel Ricciardo, and they always end up killing them.
But people love it, huh?
And they love it, yeah. So I think they've got a lot more freedom. So in the first episode, they did a race with the LaFerrari, the P1, and the 918.
Yeah, that was an amazing feature, that.
Yeah, and because of manufacturer rules, they weren't allowed to verse each other on BBC. Because Ferrari would say, cool, whoever gives you the LaFerrari, they'll never be able to own another Ferrari again. And whoever gives you the 918 will never be able to use a 918. Mm. So because they're on the internet, the guys were like, cool, I think they got their cars from a rich Arab in Dubai.
All right.
And he owned all three. And he literally was like, you know what, screw you guys. I don't care if I can't buy another car again. I'll find another way to get it.
But that's so clever, because like, if they'd gone to the manufacturers, they'd never have allowed it, right?
Yeah, but the funny thing is, that's the power of them. So they eventually got these cars from the people. And when they did, Ferrari sent their own entire teams there. So Ferrari had a dedicated team to look after the Ferrari, and Porsche did the same thing because they knew, okay, cool, this is the Holy Trinity race. We can't let anyone just like, you know, Bob from Sheffield come and like,
yeah, sure,
polish the tires and be like, it's all right.
That's fantastic.
So yeah, I completely love the show, and I love the direction they're going in. So...
All right, dude. Well, let's see if we can get you on a show like that one of these days. I mean, it's all changing, so it's probably better to be on the internet than anywhere else, because you can be authentic and all of those things. You don't have a bunch of people breathing down your neck and telling you how to do what you do.
Exactly.
You've done it all on your own.
Exactly.
You don't owe anybody.
No, that's transparent. Right. So what I put out there is, it's basically what I have to say, but at the same time, it's my honest opinion, and it really doesn't matter at the end of the day, because I still go to bed happy because, you know, I love what I do.
I love it. I think this is great. Matthew, nice to meet you.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Do you like being Matt or Matthew? I didn't even ask.
Whichever you prefer. Matt's shortest.
What are you used to?
Matt.
Matt. Okay. Then I'll call you Matt. And it's Kania, huh?
It's Kanaya.
Kanaya.
That one.
Like as in Shania?
Sort of. I'm still trying to figure out if my surname is Indian or not. I still don't know.
Is it?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I really don't know. I mean, I've Googled it. Not much comes up.
Kanaya.
I don't
Matt
know.
Matt Kanaya. All right. I like that. That's a good car expert name.
That's the one.
I like that.
I'm going to change my titles now.
I'm going to follow you on Instagram. I think we should all do it. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
All right.
Thanks for
good to
me.
See you. Thanks, all Matt. Right.
Cheers,
very
man.
Good. There we go. Meeting interesting people every morning. It's very exciting. And good luck to you.
Thanks so much. CliffCentral.com.